Today on More to Life, stand your ground. Are people pressuring you to relax your limits or compromise your beliefs? Let us help you assert yourself gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, stand your ground. We're helping you be more assertive. And if people are either pressuring you to relax your limits, suspend your boundaries, compromise your beliefs, say yes to doing stuff you really don't feel like you need to be doing, we are here to help you find ways to assert yourself gracefully. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, for some of us, asserting our needs is almost like an allergy. We're allergic to it. We were taught to be quiet. We were taught to go along, to get along. And in our adulthood, all of those messages come back. And when we have a need, we're so busy trying to make sure everybody else is happy, please everybody else, keep everybody peaceful and calm, that we sometimes neglect our needs or don't know how to convey those needs in a way that's effective.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we a lot of people even see that as a virtue, right?
Yes.
You know, it's like I'm being humble by not asserting my needs and just focusing on pleasing you. But, you know, that actually can be a trauma response, too. The idea that fawning or pleasing, people-pleasing, is a response to being, kind of raised in an environment where it wasn't safe for me to put myself out there.
Exactly.
And it's not a virtue at all. And we'll talk more about this throughout the program, but yes, of course, we want to be generous to others. And yes, of course, we want to prioritize other people's needs and make sure that we are challenging ourselves to be generous to others. But God still gives us permission, even in that generosity, to have our own needs. In fact, He gave us those needs with the intention that we would fulfill them, and by doing that, build the kind of intimate community that we're all called to live in with each other by responding generously to each other's needs.
Well, and I think that you bring up that God gave us these needs. He also, as Christ, let us see how to be assertive in many ways. And sometimes his assertiveness was just simply disappearing from a crowd. No, I'm not going to let you press upon me right now. No, I'm not going to let you try to trick me right now. It's not part of my mission. No, I really need some rest, so I'm going to go off by myself right now. Those were quiet but very assertive ways to get his needs met and to draw boundaries. Of course, there's asserting the holiness of the temple, when he literally overturned the tables and took a whip and chased the money changers out of the temple because he was asserting the sacredness of his father's house. That wasn't sinful. Often we think that assertiveness, whether it's quiet assertiveness or firmer assertiveness, is somehow sinful. And what it really is bad programming or that trauma response that Greg was just mentioning, and it can be scary to us. So how do we learn to do that well? Additionally, maybe you have somebody in your life who seems very assertive, but what they really are is sort of bullying and, maybe a little self-serving all the time, and you don't know how to deal with them. We can help you with that today as well.
Yeah, we're talking about all things assertive on More to Life on our show titled Stand Your Ground. The number is 877-573-7825. 7825 and call up and share. Is someone in your life refusing to respect your boundaries? You know, maybe they're making you feel guilty for even having those boundaries and trying to wheedle their way through or around them. Maybe you're having a hard time saying no to somebody. Perhaps they're pressuring you to say yes to something that you'd rather not do, or trying to make you feel bad for expressing your needs or concerns or your beliefs. We want to help you discover simple ways to assert yourself gracefully. The number is 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice and being able to ask those follow-up questions so we can tailor our responses to your unique circumstances. So again, the number, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that, and how can it possibly help me be more assertive? Well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections when he was Pope that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation.
The Theology of the Body reminds us that our decision to say yes or no to someone shouldn't be based on how we feel in the moment or how much someone is pressuring us, but rather on what we prayerfully believe allows us to work for the good of the other person, our ultimate good as well, and the ultimate good of our relationship. We often feel guilty saying no, because no's tend to be based on what we are feeling in the moment, more than on just what we genuinely, objectively, and prayerfully believe is in either our best interest or the best interests of the other person. This is especially true when we feel pressured by others. The Theology of the Body reminds us that while we are called to be generous, it is possible to be generous in ways that are bad for us and for others. When that's the case, it is even more generous to say no. Our job as Christians is not to be indiscriminately generous, but rather to be thoughtfully and responsibly generous.
So when someone's asking something of us, especially when they're pressuring us, the question to ask isn't, do I feel like doing this or not? Or even, would they be upset with me or not? But rather, is there a way to say yes to this request that's both good for me and the other person? And if the answer to the question is yes, well, then I can say yes, even if I, you know, need to negotiate the how and the when, right? I can still say yes to the what. But if the answer is no, that it might not be good for me or good for the other person, then I might need to say no. And in either case, my yes or no isn't based on how I feel, which could be changed or manipulated. It's based on a thoughtful and prayerful consideration of whether something is or isn't objectively good for me and the other person and our relationship. And because this approach, because this approach gives me an objective way to decide whether to say yes or no, I can be firm in my decision and not be pressured to do things I shouldn't. Generosity isn't actually generous unless it's prayerful, intentional, responsible, and ordered for the mutual good for everybody involved. So that's what we're talking about today, how to be assertive in ways that aren't bullying, right? But that, you know, still allow you to be generous in ways that are thoughtful and responsible and actually good for you and the people around you. Give us a call. Our show today, again, is titled Stand Your Ground. Is someone refusing to respect your boundaries? Are you having a hard time saying no to somebody? Are they pressuring you to say yes to something that you'd prefer not to do? Or maybe they're trying to make you feel bad for expressing your needs or your concerns or your beliefs. We're talking about assertiveness today. How can we develop that sort of graceful sense of assertiveness that allows us to be generous to others while not throwing ourselves under the bus or are the call to work for the actual ultimate good under the bus as well? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we are feeling pressured, bullied, manipulated, to surrender our boundaries, to not express our needs or concerns, or when people are pressuring us and challenging our beliefs. We ask you for the grace to be gracefully assertive, to know how to respond in ways that actually are ordered to our good, to their good, and the good of our relationship, instead of just saying yes or no, or setting boundaries or not, based on how we feel in the moment, so that we can stand confident and strong in your grace in all of our decisions, knowing that every time we say yes or no, we're making a choice that works for the ultimate good of the other person, our ultimate good, and the good of the relationship with them. And this way, in everything we do, we're building your kingdom by creating stronger, healthier, and godlier relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled Stand Your Ground, as we talk about those times when we need to be a little bit more assertive. You know, do you feel like maybe people are pressuring you to relax your limits, give up your boundaries, or compromise your beliefs? Someone asking you to do something that you feel maybe isn't the best thing for you to do? Or maybe they're trying to make you feel bad for expressing your needs or your concerns, or shaming you for your beliefs? We want to help you be gracefully assertive in all those situations and more. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question that came in at questions@moretoliferadio.com from Gina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana. She said, we have a 13-year-old grandson who we took emergency custody of when he was 5 because my daughter is addicted to drugs and was in a domestic violence situation with her drug pusher boyfriend. She has gone to rehab twice since then, and my grandson visits with her when she makes herself available. She seems clean and healthy right now. She gives him a great time when they are together, but there's no consistency to their visits. As he's getting older, he wants to go and live with her and is resenting my husband and I, quote, standing in his way, unquote. I'm concerned about how much I should just assert all of the power we have legally and give him an absolute no, how much we should tell him, and whether we should even allow many of these visits. He's very argumentative and angry about all of this. Can you give us any guidance? And that's Gina.
Gina, thank you so much for the question, and I'm so sorry that you guys are dealing with that. We're adding you to our More to Life prayer list so that you can continue to receive, you know, the grace of all of our intercessions for your challenging situation here. The first thing I'm going to say, I'll offer some simple things, but I think the first thing that I really want to encourage you to be seeking some professional support for this. This is not something that you can really handle on your own, or that you should be trying to handle on your own.
And I want to emphasize here that not only should you be getting professional support, you and your husband, to really help guide you through this, but you really should be in counseling with this young man. Please don't send him off for counseling by himself because he's belligerent or confused or hurt or whatever those reasons that you feel are important are. Sending a child off to do therapy by themselves will not work. And especially in his situation, he really needs to be working with you to work out all these feelings and his behaviors associated.
Right, because the problem exists between you guys, right, and how you're managing this difficult situation together. One of the practical suggestions that I'd like to suggest to you is that you start praying together about how to handle this.
Not just you and your husband, that's important, but all three of you with your grandson.
And specifically, Lord, we really want our grandson to have a good relationship with his mom. But we're also really worried because she struggles with addiction and she's not able to be consistent, and we really worry about his safety, and we don't know how to negotiate all those things. Help us to communicate, help us to show him. And by the way, you're saying this all in front of him. You're saying this together.
Together with,
help us to show him that we're really committed to helping him get whatever he needs and helping him have whatever the best kind of relationship he can with his mom, but help us know how to do that in a way that's safe and good for all of us. And you're praying that every day, and you're talking about it then. You're using that prayer as a springboard for conversations about how he feels and how you guys feel. And then you're bringing that back to prayer. You're teaching him how to, you know, say, Lord, I'm so frustrated and I'm angry at my grandparents for keeping my mom away from me, and, you know, and so on and so forth. Really pouring out your hearts to God in the presence of each other. Being vulnerable that way, because in that vulnerability, that's where the Holy Spirit can really work on all of your hearts. And as you're praying together and you're discerning this together, you're listening to each other pray, you're listening to each other when you're talking, and then you're bringing that conversation back to prayer, and you're hearing God speaking to you through the things that you say out loud. It's a very different way of praying than a lot of people are used to, but it's when you're dealing with these kinds of serious issues, this is what needs to happen so that we can really start hearing how God is speaking to us through our hearts. So I really challenge you and encourage you to be praying together, the three of you, on the feelings about this, the fears about this, the desires behind it. You know, and I know that, you know, you say, you know, what should we share with him? You know, I'm a big believer that if a kid's going to go through something, they deserve to know what they're going through. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to give them all the gory details, but it's okay to say, you know, mom is struggling with addictions and she's having, you know, this problem where she's going through, you know, in broad ways, not to run her down or to, you know, make him think less of her, but to be able to say, you know, these are some real concerns that prevent her from being able to be who you need her to be. And we want you to be able to have a good relationship with her while still recognizing that these are things that she's dealing with.
And let's talk about, you know, what you're teaching him here. As Greg said, you're not running down your daughter. You're not giving him really grisly details of any of the stuff that I'm sure exists in a situation where she was in domestic violence and he was there for all of that. But what you are letting him know is that she is going to be in a lifelong battle with this. You know, she's already been to rehab twice, so we know that it wasn't just an instantaneous, miraculous healing kind of a situation, that she is really battling this, and that she may continue to battle this for the rest of her life. It's okay to tell him, look, when she is in a good place, when she's clean, when she's doing all the things she's supposed to do, while she's going to her meetings, that's when it's safe for you to be with her and build this relationship. But if she is not, if that slips at all, that becomes unsafe for you. That is why the court put you in our custody. That's why we are keeping you on a steady, safe path. And you need to know that just because she's in good shape in the moment when you're visiting her doesn't mean we can count on that every single day of her life.
Now, he's never going to accept that just because you said it, though, right? Which is why I think it's important that you're praying about this together and really pouring your hearts out to God and each other in that prayer, that you're also seeking that professional support, not just for him or for you and your husband, but for all of you together, the three of you. Because you're going to need, this is going to have to be an ongoing conversation. So he doesn't, because it's going to be easier for him to be mad at you than it is to reckon with the fact that his mom is just not in a place where she can be his mom. It's just, that's a terrible thought. And it's easier for him to be mad at you for this. So by working through this in the way I was talking about, praying about it together and getting professional support, you're able to deal with that deeper issue. So I think that, you know, these suggestions will get you started, but I'm going to end where I began by asking you to really reach out for somebody either that you've been working with locally, or if you haven't been working and you're looking for faithful ways through this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us, the Pastoral Telecounseling Practice at CatholicCounselors.com. But start with these suggestions. Really start praying about this together, especially if you haven't been doing that the way I've been talking about. Download the podcast so that you can make sure that you understand how to pray about this together. And then, you know, if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or by calling in through at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, with that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Stand Your Ground. And we're talking about assertiveness today on More to Life. Is someone refusing to respect your boundaries? Are you having a hard time saying no to someone? Are they pressuring you to say yes to something that you'd prefer not to do or feel might not be good for you? Or maybe they're trying to make you feel bad for expressing your needs or your concerns or your beliefs. Let us help you discover simple ways to be assertive gracefully. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11. She's going to be talking about how to help our kids be assertive without being bullies. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stand Your Ground, as we talk about assertiveness. Are Christians even allowed to do that? Well, yeah. But let's talk about what that looks like in your situation. Is someone refusing to respect your boundaries? Are you having a hard time saying no to somebody? Maybe they're pressuring you to say yes to something you'd prefer not to do or don't feel is in your best interest or theirs. Maybe they're trying to make you feel bad for expressing your needs, concerns, or beliefs. Let us help you discover simple ways to assert yourself. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
So you wanted to talk about, you know, how we can teach our kids to be assertive without being bullies. Where do we start?
At home. Really, we know this. The home is where we launch our kids out to the world, but we can unknowingly teach our kids bullying habits or anger issues or things like that by how we're treating them. And so we've said it before, we're going to say it again. We need to listen to our children when they want our attention. And this means that we put down the phone, we turn off the TV, we set aside whatever is distracting us for our kids. Now, sometimes we have to tell our children, you're going to have to wait until I'm done. But how do they wait? If in our family, our kids were allowed to stand next to me and hold on to a piece of clothing, like hold on to my belt loop or my sleeve or the edge of my sweater so that I remembered that they
just
were there.
Just to silently let you know, right? So they're not, Mom,
yep, that
Mom.
You need them. And as they get older, then we finish what we're doing and we go to them. Thank you for waiting. You did such a great job with that. What do you need from Mom and Dad? And then meet their needs. Not that we're spoiling them with all of their wants, but to meet their need and let them be able to tell us what they need. We also have to do it with siblings. You know, the loudest child, the strongest child, doesn't win every battle. And it's very important that our kids learn that volume never wins. Whining doesn't win. But that we can calmly listen to their story. We can ask them to tell each other what's going on, help them learn how to negotiate with siblings for a share of the cookie or a sharing of the toy, and reinforce it with positive, recognizing when they do good. Oh, thank you for sharing. Thank you for letting your brother go first. Thank you for giving your sister an opportunity to wear that favorite sweater. And when they learn that in the family and it's reinforced with love and kindness, then they're going to take it out to the world and learn that they get their way when they share well and learn to love well.
I like one of the things you said here, too, which is, you know, the idea that whining or yelling doesn't work. And I think one really good way to establish that is by saying, look, I want you to be able to express your need or your concern here, but you're not ready to have this conversation until you can calm yourself down enough to say it, you know, calmly and respectfully. So do you need a few minutes, or can you do that now, or what? You're not saying to the kid, you know, now that you yelled, you can't get it. You're saying, this is what I need you to do to get to where you want to be. And then we're coaching them through that. I think that's brilliant. Thank you. That's a terrific suggestion.
We have to remind them with our calm voice that a calm voice is how we can have a conversation. You know, I want to talk to you
about really important part. Sorry, it's a really important part of what we call discipleship discipline. And if folks would like to learn more about that, they can check it out at Catholic HOM. And they can also visit BeholdPublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Thanks, Rachel, for being with us today. And we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825, helping you be gracefully assertive in all those situations where you're feeling a little pushed around. Stick around.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are in an age where the culture is taking over so strongly, and we need to be effective communicators, one-on-one, online, in interviews, phone conversations. Doesn't mean that every person is going to have a degree, that every person is going to know how to do a podcast, but we need to first form ourselves in prayer and know the faith, and then at least know something. If we're going to be evangelizing and out there on whatever platform on a regular basis, but are we making sure that we are doing it to the best of our ability, prayerfully, but also in a way to communicate effectively? How do we get that message across? How are we approaching people? Are we being kind? Are we giving them accurate information?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stand Your Ground, as we talk about dealing with the people who are pressuring us either to relax our limits, surrender our boundaries, change our beliefs, say yes to things that we shouldn't say yes to, probably. We are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Are you dealing with somebody who's just not respecting your boundaries, or who won't take no for an answer? You know, or who tends to make you feel bad when you try to express your needs or your concerns or even your beliefs? We want to help you discover simple ways to assert yourself gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And as we were saying, you know, the other day on the show, because we were touching on this topic a little bit, you know, in helping Christians understand why it's okay to be assertive, you know, assertiveness serves the virtue of justice. You know, and we tend to think of justice as just in kind of court proceedings or whatever. But the virtue of justice has to do with making sure that everyone receives their due, that everybody's giving according to their level of ability, that everybody's receiving according to their level of need, and that we're all working together for the common good. And assertiveness is that virtue that enables us to make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do for the common good. Right? And so it's not just about being stubborn. It's not about setting limits because you don't feel like doing something or because you want to be mean to somebody. It goes back to what we were talking about in our reflection at the beginning of the show, where we're able to, as the Lord said, make our yes be yes and our no be no, not on how we feel in the moment, but what we genuinely and prayerfully believe is ordered to the ultimate good of the other person, to our good, and the good of our relationship. You know, and so that's kind of the problem, though, right? Because a lot of times we tend to be assertive not based on that prayerful assessment, but based on how we feel in the moment. I say no because I just don't want to. And then the other person pressures me, and then I feel guilty about not wanting to. So then I say yes, and then I'm like a reed in the wind, right? Or I set this boundary because I'm mad at you, and then I'm not mad at you anymore, and I feel guilty for having been mad at you, and then I let you walk all over me again. And I don't base my decision on whether I prayerfully believe that what I'm doing is really in your best interest or the good of the relationship. I do it based on my feelings, and that's when I get in trouble.
I got to jump in because I love that you said, because I don't want to. You know, it's not that I don't want to do this because I have these things that I need to accomplish or keep sacred in my life or whatever those things are. If you had used the words want to, that's okay to want certain things because they are right for us. That's fine. When it's, I don't wanna, we're really going back into our child self. We're going back to, I'm lazy. I don't want to. It makes me go outside my comfort zone. It makes me mad, whatever those things are. And we really do, as Christians who are trying to mature in our Christianity, each one of us day in and day out, we really need to assess, is this I don't want to place? Or is our inner grumpy teenager coming out or our toddler coming out and of what we're making our decisions about? Or is this really working for the other person's ultimate good, our ultimate good, and the ultimate good of our relationship? That part can get a little tricky, can't it? When you feel like you're working for somebody's ultimate good, but it could put a wedge in your relationship. How do you figure all that out? Well, you give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's go to our next listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Caller from New York, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes, hi. Yes, I'm Cola from New York. I have a son. I adopted him. Adopted him at the age of 3. He's 29 now. He lives not too far from me, about 30 minutes away. But you know, I like for him to come over because he seems to be now lonely. He graduated college. He's working, but he doesn't really keep up with his old friends. So, being I have a biological son and an adopted son, and I would like for him to come over, but every time he comes over, he like when he leaves, he stays like for the weekend. I notice like a lot of things missing, my scissors, my flash drives. But I said to him 2 weeks ago, when he came, because my husband wanted to take a break from him because he's like on the angry side. And my son is on the angry side. And, you know, when I asked him about the flash drives, they go, I'm happy to give you stuff that belongs to us, but just ask me, you know, then we can discuss it. But, and then when he was going through his bags, I see all my scissors in his bags. I don't know what this is. And it just seems to just take things. And he took something from his brother, his drill gun. He's looking for it, and then he pulls it out of his bag. I don't know what this is all about. Is it attention seeking?
I don't know that it matters, honestly. I mean, so like, you know, trying to figure out why he's doing it is sort of beyond you and us. I think the most important thing is what do you want to do about it, right? So the first thing is you try to address it with him directly. So have you talked? I mean, it sounds like you've talked to him directly about this, and what does he say?
Well, he says he didn't say much. He just like pulls out of his bag and he gives it to me. I just feel like he doesn't respect other boundaries, too. Like, I said to him, you know, I like this couch. It means a lot to me. It's a very nice couch. You can sleep here in the summer because the air conditioning wasn't working on the top floor. So I allowed him to sleep there, but he doesn't take care of the couch. Like, he'll have pens on it and just on and on. And he just, and, you know, I said to him, okay, it's cooler now. You can sleep in your bedroom. And he was like huffing and puffing, angry. Like, you can't tell him much. I don't know. He doesn't.
Well, and so that's the thing. One of the things we have to kind of accept is that if we set boundaries with people, they're not going to like it. Right. And especially when you have somebody who's not good at accepting boundaries, like your son, who tends to take a little advantage, they're going to act even more huffy and puffy when we set boundaries with them. And that's why we need boundaries, because they're not willing to just do it because we've asked them out of the goodness of their hearts. And so the question, I guess, for you would be, what boundaries would you want to set? Not that would just be a reaction to the ways he's taken advantage, but that would really kind of work for his good, too. So, for example, you know, your husband is saying, we just need to take a break from him. And I understand where that's coming from, but that's one of those emotional boundaries I was talking about before that you'll set, and then you'll feel guilty about it, and then you'll come and let him stay and take advantage of you all over again, and nobody wins. As opposed to being able to say to him, hey, look, you know, for example, the couch thing. I'm happy to have you sleep on the couch. I know the air conditioning isn't working on the top floor. But if you do, then I need you to take care of the couch. Now, the first day he doesn't take care of the couch, he's like, okay, I can't let you sleep on the couch anymore. You're going to have to go upstairs. But it's a million degrees up there. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Until you can show me that you can take care of the stuff and respect my boundaries, I can't trust you to be on the couch. And that's just the way it's going to be. And then you set that boundary because, you know, it's working for his good because that's helping him respect you, and it's working for your good because it's helping you be a good steward of your couch. And you're not being mean to him. You're not cutting him out of your life. You're just saying this is the way it has to be. And he's not going to like it, but that's okay. And you just let him have his feelings as long as he sleeps upstairs. No problem. Do you see what I'm saying?
Or if this is so constant that every time he comes to your house, he just takes stuff that doesn't belong to him. He's not listening to you, and he's not responding in a positive way, and it's driving you both crazy. Well, then you switch up how you see him. You know, he's a half an hour away from you. You say, "Hey, we'll treat you to dinner at this diner tonight. You know, we'll let's meet there because we got a ton of stuff to do, so we can't spend the whole weekend together or whatever. But let's go out to dinner." It's not in the house. It's not a temptation for him to steal stuff. It's time limited. It's an easier way for you to cope with it.
But it's okay to say. But it's okay to say, and I can't have you sleep over anymore because I can't trust you not to take our stuff without asking. So, and I would love to have you at the house, but until I see you being more honest about what your needs are and it's coming out and directly asking us for things, then I can't let you stay at the house because I just can't trust that you're not going to take stuff. So we'll meet at the restaurant instead.
Now, honestly, what you're saying, you know, you slid it into a lot of the other stuff that's going on, but you said that, you know, he graduated college and he doesn't really have a lot of friends. focus on that a little bit. You know, ask him what he's doing with his social life. And if you're seeing he's just sitting in his apartment doing nothing all the time, it may be an important thing to have, you know, the name of a few different good counselors in the area that he can talk to, because he may be, you know, really battling with some stuff in his life and his mind, and it's causing these behaviors and a bit of depression if he's never going out to anybody but you.
But don't get too caught up in why he's doing it. Focus on how to respond to it in a way that leads to a better relationship between the two of you. And that's what that, because those are boundaries that you'll be able to stick to, instead of setting a boundary because you're mad about something and then you end up feeling guilty about it later and then backing down. We talk more about how to do this in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, where we really talk about how to set boundaries that don't just cut people off or say no to people, but give people healthy ways to do the things that they want to do and they're trying to do in unhealthy ways. So check it out if you want more information. It's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts. But I do think the suggestions we've made here will guide your next steps. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825. As we go to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Am I seeking the approval of man or of God? I tell you, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
St. Paul reminding us that, again, you know, that it's important to make whatever decisions we make about boundaries, about what we say yes to, about the limits that we set, based on what we genuinely believe is serving God's call for us to work for the ultimate good of the other person, for ourselves, and for our relationships. Not so much on what other people are pressuring us to do or how we're feeling about it, but really on that prayerful discernment of what's truly good for them, us, and our relationship. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about assertiveness today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stand Your Ground, as we talk about being assertive. 877-573-7825. 7825.
Let's talk now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Sandy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Father, I
just going to ask you to turn down your radio because we're getting a delay.
We're getting the delay from your...
Thank you. Okay, so what's your question?
I did, Father. Thank you. I'm having difficulty standing my ground, not only because I feel like there's people that disrespect me by not by judging me, or let's say, for instance, where I'm in a meeting with several people or just eating out, I try to talk and be a part of the conversation, but because I am at times slow speaking, I feel they just kind of jump me and just go on with other people just cutting in with being disrespectful. And then also I have a really hard time saying no. If I'm volunteering and they need me to stay longer or do other work, I just sometimes I don't want to, and I just say yes to everything. I had a relationship where I would just go back and back and back, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like with a low self-esteem, I do a lot for other people, and I feel that
they just,
in other words, dismiss me.
Okay. Sandy, can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question. It might seem a little out of the left field here, but growing up, were you raised in a home where there was a lot of anger by any chance?
Oh, yes. Yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The reason I asked that question is because, you know, earlier in the show, I was talking about how this kind of, there's certain kinds of people pleasing that's a trauma response. And that's what you're describing, you know. So we everybody's familiar with fight, flight, and freeze. The fourth one is fawn. So when we respond to a threat by, some people respond by fighting back, some people respond by freezing, some people respond by fleeing, running away, but other people learn to respond by fawning and being people pleasers, and that's the response that you learn growing up in the angry household. And so we're going to need to do some inner healing in order for you to be able to be stronger in these situations. Now, in terms of the conversation, I appreciate, you know, that what you're saying is that you want people to create space for you to be able to, you know, to say what you want to say, and you deserve to be heard. I would say that in most normal conversations, there does tend to be kind of a back and forth where people, you know, to some degree will interrupt, but then, you know, they give you the floor back and you get to, you know, kind of jump in with your piece and all that. But because you feel afraid that, you know, that would be rude to jump in, it prevents you from being able to be as interactive as you need to be in that situation. And the other thing about saying no, you know, again, there's that fear that if I say no, that they'll be mad at me, and if they're mad at me, it won't be safe. Now, I know that as an adult, you recognize that, you know, saying no to somebody who's asking you to volunteer at the church isn't unsafe. But the adult you isn't the one who's afraid. It's this child part of you that grew up in a place where it wasn't safe to say no, and it wasn't safe to rock the boat, that kind of comes out and says, hey, Sandy, you know, don't be honest about this here, because, you know, you're going to get in trouble, and that's not safe for me. So being able to spend some time working on healing that inner child part of yourself, I'm going to give you just a practical suggestion. I'd like it if you could get a journal, and I'd like you to kind of write out different situations that happen in the day that you wish that, like, pick one thing every day that you wish you would have handled a little bit more assertively. Okay, and just write out a couple of sentences describing the situation, and then pray about it. Say, okay, Lord, you know, if I could be less afraid in that situation, you know, if you could help me be less afraid, what would you want me to say or do there? And then script out that prayerful response that helps you leave behind that fear, and just imagine You know, if you didn't have the fear in that situation, but could still be compassionate, you know, and respectful, what would you do or say? And start thinking in that direction. At first, you won't know. At first, it'll just be frustrated because you can't think of it. But I want you to keep praying about that every day. Lord, help me to be, help me to overcome the fear that holds me back while still being respectful and generous to others. And help me to know what that looks like. And then, you know, pick a thing every day that's a situation you wish you handled more assertively. Pray that prayer, write out that response, and start mentally rehearsing it. Go back over your journal entries for the week, and every day sort of just mentally practice doing that in your head, even if you can't quite do it in practice just yet. The more you're able to practice that mentally, the more you're likely to succeed when those situations come up.
Now, do this every single day. And, Sandy, if you have a day where you're like, I didn't have a day, a thing today where I wasn't assertive enough, write that down too. I did well today. I handled everything well. I didn't feel diminished in a position where I should have asserted myself. And if you feel like you've made a little bit of growth, write that down in that journal. So when you get to the end of every week, you've got a good tracking of when do these moments of more timidity show up for you. You also have how you're going to handle it differently. But you're also going to be able to track, are there times and places where you feel more courageous, more assertive, more confident in yourself, so that you can look at the differences that are making the difference and build your strength through seeing where you're strong, too.
Now, I think that's going to really help over the long term. But in the shorter term, if you'd like more support with this, I'm going to encourage you to check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, because we do talk about healing those parts of ourselves that can hold ourselves back because we're afraid, and how to do some of that inner healing work and really begin to heal that scared part of you that is preventing you from being as assertive as you need to be. If you feel like you need more personalized and faithful attention on this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice. But Sandy, I believe that God wants to heal this hurting part of you and help you feel more confident as that beautiful, beloved daughter of God. And I think that these suggestions and the resources that we're offering to you could really help close that gap between where you are and who you're feeling called to be. And I want to thank you for reaching out to us today. Let's go to Lynn, who's listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Lynn, we've only got a couple of minutes, but I wanted to take your question. So what's going on?
Having a little bit of difficulty with my parents at the moment, and I've had to set boundaries with my dad in the past, and he hasn't really liked that, of course. My husband and I are both very active in our church, and this past weekend, I was sitting by myself while my husband was serving during Mass, and during the homily, it was on kind of a difficult topic, and I could just feel the temperature rising with my dad sitting next to me. He's only started going to Mass about the last year and a half or so, just out of, because my mom wanted him to, and he doesn't.
And you said he got up and he walked out, and that was kind of embarrassing for you. And so what is it that you want to be able to do about this?
Yes, and he was the only one who really got up and walked out. And
sure.
After, sitting and kind of huffing and puffing in his seat, and I'm really not sure how to address this, because I want to be respectful of them, and also the fact that it was at church. I don't want
I mean, I have to jump in because I've only got about 60 seconds before they play us out here. And I'm sorry. I apologize for not giving you enough time. And if you want to call back with some additional details later, we can. But let me just throw this out. One of the things about being assertive is being comfortable letting people have their feelings. That's really hard to do because, we especially when your dad does something inappropriate like that.
It embarrasses you.
It's embarrassing. It's difficult. But I think it's okay. You know, as long as he didn't do something directly to you. This doesn't reflect on you at all, right? It reflects on him. He's the one who got it. And we should be challenged at church. And he's new to church, and he's hearing things, and it's frustrating. And I think it's okay to say, hey, Dad, I was really surprised. You looked really upset. And I wonder, did you feel like the Holy Spirit was convicting you of something? And just and he'll complain about the priest, and I can't believe he said this and that. He's like, well, Dad, you know, we go to church because we're learning how to live Christian lives, how to live differently and think differently and feel differently than we do. How do you feel like the homily was challenging you to be more of a Christian person? I'd really be interested in your thoughts on that. And just put it out there. But otherwise, you know, let him wrestle with it, because that's part of being a Christian, and that's part of the Christian walk. Again, I apologize for not giving you enough time. I just wanted to get your question in if we could. But if you'd like to call back with additional details on another show, please don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And listeners, if you're looking for faithful ways to respond to the pressures in your life and learning how to be gracefully assertive, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.